This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, it's Mraz. Welcome inside a Monday edition of the DA Show. The Celtics eliminate the Sixers. Oh, what a choke for Philly. Of course, it's a momentous Monday, and Canadian Bacon recaps the Oilers' elimination. It's the best of the DA Show now.
And we'll begin in Boston yesterday. We all knew this would happen. We knew this was the way it was going to have to go down, that Doc Rivers and the Sixers would have a chance to clinch. Going up to Boston, the Celtics lay the ultimate stinker in Game 5, allowing the Sixers not one but two chances to close out to move on to the ever-elusive Eastern Conference Finals. This is a place that the Sixers have not been to in many, many years since Allen Iverson roamed the court for them back in 2001. You're talking about more than 20 years since the Sixers have been to the Eastern Conference Finals. They had two shots, including Game 6 at home. They came back home for Game 6, a raucous Philadelphia crowd, and you blew it. They stunk. They were terrible. They choked in Game 6. So then that set up Game 7 yesterday, a Sunday, a Mother's Day, a beautiful day in the Northeast. The sun was shining on everybody but the Sixers. And as predictable could be, Philly gags again. And yesterday gets run out of the building, losing in a blowout fashion. And the Celtics are moving on, and the Sixers are going home yet again. Embiid's bad. Harden's bad. The Sixers in general are bad. And it's never even a game. And so now the Sixers turn around years after the process was instituted and then completed. And what do you got? What do you got except yet another conference semis exit stage left? I'll tell you what you got. You got a decision on your hands at the coaching position. Is it now time to fire Doc? It is where we begin. Your cold open.
He's earned a pull-up three if he wants it. He takes it. Oh! Drills it!
You can't win alone. I can't win alone. Me and James, we just can't win alone. You know, that's why basketball is played 5-on-5. So, you know, we just need everybody to just, you know, try to keep finding ways to get better. And, you know, we'll be fine.
Right corner against Embiid. Tatum for a 50-piece.
And he, you know what? He showed it. He showed you 50.
A game 7-50 for Jason Tatum.
Yeah, I think I got 2 years left. So,
given the tenor of what you've seen happen in the last 2 or 3 days, where coaches of the year, guys with titles.
Yeah, no one's safe in our business, you know, and I get that.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
You heard Celtics radio there. And of course, Doc Rivers and Joel Embiid. You cannot ignore Embiid and Harden coming up here small. They're on the floor. Embiid is the MVP. Those guys didn't get it done yet again. But let's set that aside for a moment. Because you can't fire Joel Embiid. Doc's gotta go. Doc's gotta go. How many times is Doc Rivers going to blow a series lead with one win until you advance and have to come back and prove that that's exactly who he is the next time around as well? The stats, the history are all damning. Doc Rivers, when leading a series 3-2, or 3-1, has lost 7 of those series. It's insane. You can go back to 2003 when he was with the Magic. He was up 3-1, lost to the Pistons. 2009, second round of the Celtics, up 3-2, lost to the Magic. 2010 NBA Finals against the Lakers, up 3-2, lost to the Lakers in Game 7. Conference Finals 2012, up 3-2 on LeBron to the Heat, lost in Game 7. Second round 2015, Clippers up 3-1, lost in Game 7 of the Rockets. 2020, second round Clippers up 3-1, lost in Game 7 of the Nuggets. And this year, up 3-2, second round, lost Game 7 of the Celtics. Doc can't close. Doc cannot close. And you see a team in its biggest moments continually put both hands around its neck. So Doc's got to go. That's it. You're done there. And there are good head coaches on the market right now. Look at these good guys that was alluded to in that question who have been coaches of the year or won an NBA championship. The Sixers have to make a change. That has to happen today. You fire Doc and say what happened again with this franchise cannot happen again. Okay, that's the first part. The second part is for Joel Embiid to sit there and say, we can't win alone. I can't win alone. Me and James can't win alone is laughable. Dude, you're the NBA MVP. It has to go through you. And yesterday was not about how you didn't have enough support. It wasn't like you threw up 51 points like Jason Tatum and nobody else did anything. If you're the MVP, you're the team franchise, you are the everything guy, you can't sit there and blame anybody else. You cannot sit there and say, we need more help, other guys got to play better. No, that can't be it. Once again, Joel Embiid comes up small, just like Doc in a big spot, and there's nobody to blame but themselves. Because this was not a game where the Sixers were in it until the fourth quarter and then suddenly Tatum went off. No, this was a blowout. By the time we got to halftime, it was pretty evident what was going to go on in the third quarter. The lead started to expand and the fourth quarter was just a party in Boston. Awful. But the Sixers are who we thought they were. That's exactly who we thought they were. 855-212-4CBS. Or on Twitter, DA on CBS. And credit the Celtics. They exploded, and Tatum was awesome. And more on Tatum and more on the Celtics going up, coming up later on in the show. I mean, this is an Eastern Conference, which is ripe for the pick, and now they've got the 8 seed, the Heat, waiting for them. And we had Ian Thompson, formerly of Sports Illustrated, NBA longtime writer, join us last week. He said, look, whether it's the Sixers or the Celtics, they should be ashamed of themselves if they lose to the Heat. So the pressure is on the Celtics being a top seed, not the 1 seed, the Bucks were the 1 seed, but being a top seed, a 2 seed of the East, and take it on the 8, you can't lose to the 8 seed. That's unacceptable. The Celtics have got to get to back-to-back NBA Finals now. We'll see if they can get through Miami. Obviously not an easy challenger, knowing how well the Jimmy Buckets is playing, how well they're coached, but the Celtics have far more talent over the top of their roster, and they were in the NBA Finals last year. They beat this Heat team last year, a Heat team that's dealt with some injuries in the postseason as well. So no Oladipo, no Hero. The Celtics should be heavy favorites in this series. On Ja Morant, elsewhere in the NBA. By now you know Ja was caught on Instagram again yesterday morning. I don't know if this happened Saturday night. It broke Sunday morning. About him flashing a gun in the car as him and a bunch of his boys are listening to some music and partying or whatever in the car, and he flashes the gun. And we all know what happened a couple months ago, a couple weeks ago, really, when Ja was suspended and Ja had to go get his mentals right, and then Ja came back and apologized and said he was a changed man, yada, yada, yada. It tells me two things. It tells me, number one, that we live in a society where as long as you apologize, that's all people are really looking for, and then they tend to move on. So you say something stupid, you do something stupid, you apologize, and people go, okay, fine, and they move on. And it's on to the next torches and pitchforks event, right? I mean, the outrage culture that we have, everybody's always offended, everybody's always angry, everybody's always outraged. It just moves on to the next subject. So Ja did it. Ja got yelled at by social media and by the public and reprimanded by the league. He apologized. And so many of our public apologies, so many of our public, I went to go get help, I sought help, I found help, I see it a new way now, is garbage. Most of it is garbage. And it's funny that that's kind of all that matters for people, to just kind of hear the apology or see the firing. You know, the whole cancel idea of like, if somebody says something or does something or dug something up from the past, now suddenly, as long as you lose your job, okay, we're all square, we're all equal. If you apologize, okay, we're all square, we're all equal. And nobody even cares if it's genuine or not. And this was just another example of a guy that got caught doing the wrong thing, and then got jammed up and apologized and didn't really mean it. He didn't really mean it. And so he's back to doing the same stupid thing. That's the first part. The second part is that for Ja Morant, this is so silly because he's actively making a decision to sacrifice hundreds of millions of dollars. Look, it's one thing to look hard. You want to seem hard. You're with your boys, whatever. And he didn't know he was going to get flashed on Instagram, obviously, because as soon as it happens, the dude that has the camera in his hand puts it in his lap, and then Ja puts the gun away. So they knew what they were looking stupid. They knew that it could get him jammed up. But that, you know, Ja doesn't have the sense of mind to, after everything that happened, be like, okay, I just, even if I don't believe the apology, even if I just said that to get people off my back, I can't do this or else I'm sacrificing tons of money. That part is bizarre. That part is bizarre. And that part is a part where a young man either is not connecting the dots on ramifications or is so gone into his own little, whatever that is, fishbowl, in his own little space with his buddies and his cronies or whatever, that there's no rational thought there. And who knows which one of the two is happening, because what Ja's doing there is it's not like out of self-defense. It wasn't like he was at a club, he brandished a weapon because he thought he was in trouble. It's just simply, I'm flashing this again on Instagram because this is how we party. And you're just like, well, these are just, this is a situation where Ja is making a horrendous choice and is willing to sacrifice cash for a lot of cash. So who knows where he's going to end up on this, but I'll tell you, you know, for a guy that was kind of told by the NBA this and told by his team that and told by social media this and told by society this, for him to just basically go like, I'm doing the same thing again and, you know, kind of like, y'all can't tell me what to do. I was like, okay, that's fine. I mean, it's up to you. It's a free country. You're allowed to carry that weapon, I assume. You have a permit. But it's going to cost you a lot of cash. And I guess that's just the decision that you're willing to make. And one would imagine that 20 years from now, Ja's like, damn it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
With over 25 years of expertise, DAF Giving 360's donor advised funds can help you get a tax deduction and potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free while you recommend when and where to give. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Let's just start it off with soundcheck. What do you say, Bogues? How about Dennis Allen, Saints head coaches these teams have gathered on what Derek Carr has meant to the building?
Been outstanding in the building. You know, he's been here for the entire offseason program. Actually got in here a little bit early so that he could get settled in. He's been a great addition for us up to this point, and really looking forward to, you know, having him as our quarterback.
Well, isn't that nice? Dennis Allen's excited to have Derek Carr. Derek Carr's playing the part well. I mean, we can have this conversation like 19 different ways, whether or not you should or shouldn't be at voluntary off-season workouts. I think 99% of the time, Sean, new QB, rookie, veteran, whatever, should probably be there. It can't be a negative. So it's great that Derek Carr is there, but I guess there's still so many questions about Dennis Allen as a head coach. And the weapons around him that I don't know how many of those questions he actually answers, Derek Carr.
Oh, and I was going to say there's a big question here for Dennis Allen as a head coach. He's the one with the ties to Derek Carr from the Raiders. So if he can't figure this out right here and this doesn't work, that's going to be it for Dennis Allen as a coach in the NFL. All right, how about cut number two?
Yeah, isn't Joe Douglas sweet? Aaron Rodgers is Jets QB number one. Zach Wilson's still there, and Joe Douglas is still telling us that Zach might learn something from Aaron.
I think the really cool thing as it pertains to what you asked about in terms of Zach Wilson, it's been great to see these guys work together, those two guys specifically work together, and see Zach just be a little bit of a shadow to Aaron and pick up on some things in terms of how he communicates with teammates, his cadence, just every small thing. You see all these guys picking up on it in these last 2 weeks.
I mean, here's my issue with this, okay? And full disclosure, I put this cut in sound check.
Okay.
Full disclosure, people should know that I do produce the show. The reason I put this in is, why is this still a thing? Zach Wilson's on the roster. Maybe you have to protect the asset if you eventually want to trade him ahead of his fourth year. But the idea that Zach Wilson, now your former second overall pick, you're fluffing him up as a shadow to Aaron Rodgers. Maybe it's Joe Douglas trying to make everybody forget that he has actually failed at his most important pick.
Yeah.
As far with, you know, GMs don't survive picking a Zach Wilson in second overall. He survived it. And number two, you know, but if Aaron Rodgers, if he is to be believed now, remember he was 90% retired. If he is to be believed that he sees this as more than a one-year fit, Zach Wilson's only got 2 years left on his deal. They're not going to pick up his fifth-year option. They'd be idiotic cap-wise to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Why do we think that Zach Wilson is going to remain the Jet quarterback after Aaron Rodgers is gone if this isn't a one-year deal?
Well, you mentioned the trade value. We have no idea what Rodgers is going to do health-wise, what's going to happen to him health-wise. It's on the table that he goes home tomorrow, let alone right after the season. And just going back to the end of last year, and I could be completely wrong here, but reading between the lines and the Jets' unwillingness, is that a word, to play Zach Wilson again down the stretch?
Yeah.
It sounded to me like Zach Wilson had like a Mackie Sasser, Steve Sachs, like mental whatever to get over.
Right.
And if they can fix that, then maybe somewhere in there still is a useful quarterback if they ever need it. So they still have to be as supportive as possible in this scenario.
But by the time he's ready to start, if Aaron Rodgers is to be believed at more than 1 year, he's not going to be a Jet.
Okay, but what if it's 2 years? And what if Zach Wilson's your starting quarterback 3 years from now? So,
but that would mean they'd have to re-sign Zach Wilson.
Off of practice work.
Right. I think DA is back with us now.
Wouldn't this be interesting, guys, if the change, to go back to the first clip, Derek Carr, that Derek Carr was the guy that changed the culture of the Saints, and that in New York, there's this worry that Aaron Rodgers is going to go sideways, that Rodgers is going to try to, you know, kind of make it all about himself, and the Jets had chosen Rodgers. Don't you think, Mraz, that would be interesting if we see the Saints as the team that's now like the healthy culture, stable, et cetera?
Well, I mean, is that not on the table? Derek Carr is way less flaky than Aaron Rodgers and also wasn't 90% retired. Yes, I mean, this was something that DA and I both pounded to the table. Derek Carr should have been the number one option for the Jets at all times because you would have opened up a longer window of stability, and that's what the Saints have right now, and he's more level-headed. And he's not a bad quarterback either. He might not be an all-time great, but he's not a bad quarterback.
Now, Jets fans are all in on Rodgers. Like, Rodgers has done everything right to ingratiate himself and make things exciting, and it wouldn't be nearly this anticipated if Derek Carr was the quarterback of the Jets. I was just at a family communion on Saturday, a bunch of Jets fans. They just can't stop raving about Rodgers and Super Bowls and playoff appearances, etc. So you wouldn't get that with Carr, but Carr is the steadier guy, less dynamic, but is the steadier guy. And so now, you guys were just talking about the Zach Wilson and Aaron Rodgers dynamic. Like, if Zach Wilson, for whatever reason, can't get along with Aaron Rodgers, Rodgers doesn't get along with Zach Wilson, I really do believe that Zach Wilson has no future in the NFL. And so it's really up to him to make sure this works. I don't think it's up to Aaron Rodgers, because Wilson's already damaged goods.
But why on earth does Joe Douglas need to go above and beyond complimenting how great a shadow he is in that clip?
Well, he, like I said, he's damaged goods, and I think everybody is just waiting for Zach Wilson to just wash out. And so he's going beyond where he has to go to sell Zach Wilson as great kid, high future. We still believe in him, and he's just going to keep glossing him no matter what.
Nauseating.
All right, finally, clip three. I've been looking forward to this, obviously, for a great long time. Ever since I saw the sound check sheet, it says Jody Mack turns to Ron Flatter, who formerly did updates here at CBS Sports Radio, who has a guest, is a guest who pats himself on the back for how hard he worked Kentucky Derby weekend. I didn't even know what this means, but there was a lot of like words in the paragraph that made me excited. And so, guys, let's play the clip.
The Saturday night get together here on CBS Sports Radio, which means we are now less than 1 week away from the second jewel of the Racing Triple Crown. That would be the Preakness at Pimlico in Baltimore. From the HorseRacingNation.com website, editor and writer, and also the host of the aptly named Ron Flatter Racing Podcast, Mr. Ron Flatter. Flatman, they kept you busy leading up to the race, after the race, and the entire week after the race down there in Kentucky, did they not?
I only worked a 92-hour week the week of the Derby. What's that leave? There's 168 hours. Yeah, 168 in a week. So what's that leave? 70-some-odd and carry one and 30 days. Yeah, I worked hard. But, I live to tell about it, and on we go to Pimlico.
No time for selfies out on the porch with a glass of wine there.
Wow, did I just hear him call him the Flat Man? Is that the new Ron Flatter?
The Flat Man!
Nickname, the Flat Man?
What happened after that? Because that was all I cared about.
Yeah. So first it was the Flat Man, then it was about the Flatter Horse Racing Podcast, right?
That's what I heard there. Or he writes for a magazine.
It's a website, I think.
Okay.
HorseRacingNetwork.com.
Okay, and then a 92-hour week, guys. 92 hours.
For a two-minute race?
92. That's like a Meraz double shift week where you're working here and BetQL.
Well, it's more than that. But, I mean, you want to talk about a hard... Is that qualifies a hard hat guy on Derby week, Ron Flatter?
Oh, yeah. A 92-hour work week. Now, I don't know what you're doing. I mean, again, like the two-minute race. It's a two-minute race.
Like, what happens on Monday? You just sit him by the stables trying to pick up some tidbits? Like, what's he doing before that?
Do you use the horses as sources? Do you have to ask the horses things like that and hope that they neigh one way or the other?
You just put two things in front of them, which everything they sniff is their answer.
I mean, does it involve just going over, like, family trees of the horses all in the Kentucky Oaks on Friday? Like, is it more than the Derby?
I don't know. Maybe there's news that's reported around the Derby that we don't, that we're not, you know, privy to. I don't know. Maybe we're just not in that. Maybe we're just not in that circle. I mean, there was a lot of horses, unfortunately, that passed away, right? It was Flatter. Yeah. At every one of their euthanizations?
Or funerals? I don't know. Bottom line is this. I mean, it's horrible to think about. If Flatter is working 96 hours, I didn't hear him once or anybody once mention this horse Maybelline that ended up winning the Derby anyway.
That's because that's not who won the Derby.
I was going to say Maybelline.
You even made a dumb tuba joke about the horse's name.
Who was the horse's name? It was
Mage.
Mage.
Your book.
Mage. Right. Maybelline. Mage. Sorry. I don't know where I got Maybelline from. Mage.
The cosmetic
Mage
line.
Mage in the USA.
But if you work 96 hours, can you spit out that you think Mage is going to win? Otherwise, what'd you work so hard for?
Right. Did Flatter give us any winners? Because if he gave us no winners after 92 hours of that week, that's a rough one.
I'm guessing by Jody Mack probably still working the Super Bowl this year, he did not hand out those winners.
So was that a spot? What was a Flat Man doing on the show? Was he a guest or was he doing something else?
What do you mean? He hasn't done updates here in years. Of course he was a guest. Yeah, that's Jody Mack's go-to guy. So what else do you do on a day before a Game 7 than go 7 days away for a Preakness preview?
Right. He's about to do an 80-hour work week in Pimlico. That's why he's on.
You don't get Flatter now. You never get him this
exactly.
week.
Exactly. You got to get him pre-Preakness.
When is the Preakness?
This weekend.
This coming Saturday now. So this was Saturday night, so it was 7 days away to the spot. You know how it is, Radio Row Week, Super Bowl. If you don't get Emmitt Smith Monday, you ain't getting him.
Right. This is like the NFC Championship game now for Flatter. Started Super Bowl, they work backwards.
It's true. Like, if Dan Marino wants a pimp Skechers, we just make time for him. It doesn't matter when it's gonna, it could be the last segment. Oh, 9:40 can only die. Fine, we'll get 9:40. Blowout advanced analytics. No epic fail today. Guys, we got to get Dan Marino on. Same thing happens when Flatter is talking Preakness. You just got, no matter when, you got, if he's working 92 hours a week, there's only a very few precious minutes you can actually get him on per week.
You gotta capitalize on the flat man when you can capitalize on the flat man.
Okay. And that is your sound check. Were you guys, did you see on social yesterday that Cap actually had a bit of a kind of a poking the hot poker at Moist Pork on Twitter? I would have thought Cap, who's a big Celtics fan, was going to be in his glory yesterday with a big Game 7 blowout victory. I had tweeted out a picture of Ben Simmons' setup. Did you see this setup here, Mraz, where Ben Simmons was trying to flex?
I only saw it late last night as I was going to bed. Yes, the off-center TV. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, so Simmons is trying to make fun, I suppose, of his former teammates getting blown out in this game. And we'll talk more about this coming up later on in the show. But he posts a picture of himself on the couch watching Game 7 yesterday, and in front of him is, it's just his vantage point from the couch, and in front of him is a coffee table. It's a very pretty setup, and it looks like nice designer furniture, etc. And on the coffee table is a glass of wine and a smart water bottle. And Moist Pork on Twitter, responding to this, says, and he's not using a coaster, shaking my head. Okay, so Moist Pork's not happy with that.
A terrible Cap, Moist Pork comment.
Cap comes back and says, you want him to use a coaster on a glass table? Come on, Moist. So how about Cap, who, again, you'd think he was going to be in a good mood yesterday. He's clapping back at Moist Pork wanting the coaster.
Wow. So I did not see Cap v. Moist Pork.
Yeah,
but
which
I
is
would
the battle
argue,
we've all been waiting for.
I would argue Cap probably not in a great mood. It's his wife's first Mother's Day, and he's got a Game 7 at 3:30. You know, insert my complaints about Christmas Day football here. So probably not a good mood. B, I think he's probably just had it with a Moist Pork. You know, Moist always commented on the collars, the ties, the clothes. Now Moist Pork needs a coaster at every turn. I'm not... And I guess the point is wood would get ruined with the coaster, right? So glass, whatever, you just wipe it up.
Yeah. And I mean, your wine glass shouldn't be like sweating to leave a ring on the glass table. But isn't this Cap feeling his oats? He's feeling good, and shots are and he's just letting it go. There's no holding back. I'm feeling good. I'm taking shots. Here we go.
I wonder if Cap feels like he created Moist Pork in a weird way because of his video stuff.
Well, Moist comments most on Twitch. Am I right on that?
Yeah. Yeah.
And
which
so,
makes him a pork butt or not? Which one?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, he's Moist Pork. How is he not a pork butt?
But doesn't he give you? But in terms of the YouTube Twitch,
he's given up on my wardrobe. He's more of an issue with DA's wardrobe. So I guess he's more pork butt.
Okay.
I thought it was pork butt v the bogeys.
Oh
yeah, and the kind sirs. But I just more. My question was, I thought that Twitch and YouTube had to, as general entities had declared sides in this. Like, one of them was more pork butt than the other.
Well, Twitch has declared that.
Okay.
Twitch is anti-DA now on the DA show.
Gotcha.
Oh, right, because I don't read their comments.
Yes, exactly. Yes. You scan YouTube. Yes, exactly.
Okay, right. So I'm thinking that Cap has to endure the most of the Moist Pork missives because he's got to keep an eye on both the Twitch and the YouTube. So I think you're right, Mraz. I think he's just Moist Porked out.
He's Moist Porked out, but on a Sunday afternoon, you're arguing about coasters? There's got to be a better way, Cap.
But let's ask, is Cap right? I mean, do you need a coaster under a glass of wine on a glass table?
So my easy answer to that is no, but I'm also the wrong person to ask because I own coasters all over the place. Inevitably, I always forget to use them, even on wood.
This feels like an Ask Pete question. I know it's not in between commercial breaks, but Pete, do you have an opinion on this?
No.
Okay.
I do not.
I would also say this. I forget to use coasters a lot on, like, even wood and everything, and then inevitably you realize, not that big a deal.
Little pledge.
Well, it can leave rings on a wood table.
Depends upon the surface.
Yeah, I mean, and also, like, how much it's really sweating. I mean, I have more of an issue with leaving hot stuff on wood. That's where you need the rubber stuff. The drink, the coaster stuff, it's not that bad. These rings they're leaving.
So, I think this might be the poll question today. Should you use a coaster on a glass table? Because
should Ben Simmons have used one?
On second thought, thank you, Cap.
That's better. Should Ben Simmons have used a coaster on a glass glass coffee table?
Well, here's my question. Why do you have a glass coffee table? I feel like that's heading out.
No, glass is in still.
I don't know about that.
Okay, that's an interesting thought, too. What kind of coffee table do you have, Peter?
Wood.
A wood one?
Yeah.
I have wood, I have a fabric ottoman one, and I have a glass one. Yeah, you could go glass.
I try to keep as much glass out of the house with Timmy running around.
Yeah, fair. Ben Simmons ain't worried about that, though.
Nope.
Okay, well, this is the battle I didn't know I had, but I needed, and that's Moist Pork versus Andrew Kaplan.
Smiling like Little Mo every morning. It's a momentous Monday.
Hey, every day can be a better day despite the challenge. All you gotta do is leave it better than you found it. It's gonna get difficult to stand but hold your balance. I just say whatever cause there is no way you're round it.
I just think people should know that if you stay positive, everything will be fine. You just eat, drink, and breathe positive thoughts. That's all you gotta do, and everything will be good.
Okay, we appreciate you being with us on this Monday morning, and in honor of Little Mo, always trying to find the bright side in things, even when things are dark, people are angry, stuff could be frustrating. How about the Deptford Township Little League? This is a township in New Jersey who's instituted a new rule for Little League this season. To combat the number of arguments that umpires are having with fans, yes, fans in Little League, parents in Little League of the Deptford, New Jersey Township, spectators who confront umpires, there's a brand new rule. If you confront an umpire during a game, you must umpire 3 games yourself before you are allowed back into the ballpark to watch. That's right. This comes in the wake of 2 volunteer umpires quitting in late April. The league's president said, quote, "These umps are being abused and they don't need that. So they're walking away." So if you want to get into it with the umps, okay, that's fine. But you now, if you want to watch another game, you've got to now become an ump for 3 games. And I think this is an amazing way to turn something that's negative into something that's positive. You know, this is a way to shine a light on the people that can't get it for themselves, to put a mirror up to these people that are such jokers that they would confront or abuse or argue with a little league umpire. These aren't the pros. This isn't Major League Baseball. It's not minor league baseball. It's not a high school baseball. It's not travel baseball. It's little league baseball. And we all know these types of moronic parents and fans that take things way too seriously. It's flipping Little League. It doesn't matter. Your kid's not going to the majors. So shut up, sit down, let kids be kids. Okay, you want to get into it? You got it. But you're tossed out of this ballpark until you see what it feels like. Until you ump 3 games. So therein lies this perfect solution. You have now a new stream of applicants, of potential umps, right? And if you argue with an ump, that's fine. You can come back. You're not banned for life, but you just got to work at the ballpark a little bit. And don't you think that will change the perspective on these idiot parents, idiot fans that want to argue with 10-year-old Little League umpires? I would say that changes your perspective real fast. So I love this. I love taking a negative, turning it into a positive, making it productive and showing people what type of loathsome human being that they are. And apparently, people around the Little League like the rule. Kids are excited about it, and parents are looking forward to its implementation. Absolutely perfect. Bravo to the Deptford, New Jersey Little League Township. And I would tell you, if you have a Little League that's got a problem on your hands with this type of behavior, suggest this. Get into it with an ump. It's fine. But you're kicked out until you now ump three games. And when you put on that chest protector and that helmet, that face guard, and you start clicking balls and strikes for 10-year-olds, then you can start talking about what a terrible job the umps are doing. It's absolutely perfect. On Twitter, Dynasty Addict tweets at me, DA, it's amazing how little national coverage the Heat get. Remember, they advanced two this weekend. I think that's true. I think the Heat, comparatively to the Lakers and Celtics, get a lot less attention today and will. A part of that is just recency, that if the Heat had won in a thriller yesterday, or even a blowout like the Celtics did, I think they would get more bounced today. I mean, thinking back to what happened on Friday almost feels like a million years ago, you know? So that happens in sports media. People just kind of react to what just happened in Game 7, Celtics and Sixers just happened. I think the other point on that second round series between the Heat and the Knicks is that it felt like there was a lot less on the line. That was a 5 seed versus an 8 seed. And once we got into the weeds of that second round series, it was just so evident the Heat were the better team. It was so evident the Heat were going to advance. They were just better top to bottom. I thought they were better coached in that series. Jimmy Butler obviously made an enormous difference. As great as Jalen Brunson has been, he is not at that level of stardom, of carrying the team night in, night out offensively. And the Heat were just better at all the things the Knicks wanted to do to them. So I just don't think that that series carried the same weight, the same gravitational pull, because it wasn't like the Heat knocked off a squad of the league MVP, like Embiid was. It wasn't like Tom Thibodeau has had the scrutiny this year that Doc Rivers did. It wasn't like it felt like the Sixers had been to this line in the sand time and time and time and time again and just again slipped on the banana peel. So I think that just made the Celtics and Sixers series more interesting than Knicks Heat. And I think the recency of when it happened also factors in. I think the next round, though, is where the Heat can get huge national attention. And I think they got some in the first round after the way that they dispatched the Bucks. But if the Heat go back to the NBA Finals with this team as the 8 seed and find a way to rattle the cage of Tatum and Brown and Smart and the rest of the Celtics, you'll get plenty of national love for the Heat. Plenty. Plenty of national love. And that can be done. This Heat team can go to the NBA Finals. I know that Ian Thompson, longtime NBA scribe, joined us last week and said whoever faces the Heat in the Eastern Conference Finals should be ashamed of themselves if they don't win. I don't necessarily feel the same way because I think the Heat are a really good team that are they force you into bad decisions or your weaknesses. And the Celtics, let's face it, are feast or famine. Jason Tatum's feast or famine. Jason Tatum looks famine for a first 3 quarters, and then goes feast in the fourth quarter. Yesterday he was excellent, 51 points. But don't tell me that the Heat can't rattle Tatum, make him frustrated, make him go into the fetal position. Don't tell me that they don't have ways to defend Tatum well, smartly, and rattle him, because I've seen it happen. So I do think the Heat could win this series. And I think if they do, they'll get plenty of national attention. Plenty of national attention. Now, I know Mraz doesn't want to hear from Rob the 321, but I do think he's got a decent tweet here. We were talking earlier in the morning about how Cap went after Moist Pork on Twitter. I had posted a picture of Ben Simmons and his seeming flex that he was watching his former teammates get destroyed in Game 7. And he had a glass of wine on his glass coffee table. Now, we had some discussion about this because Moist Pork says that he should have had a coaster under that. And Cap says you don't put a coaster on a glass coffee table, and said basically, like, take a hike. Take a lap, Moist. And Rob of the 321 weighs in, because this is now our poll question. Should Ben Simmons have had a coaster? I think Pork's issue is if the temperature in the house causes the glass to leave condensation, it will possibly cause the glass to slide. And there's a great chance of that glass ending up on the floor, staining said flooring. That's from Rob of the 321.
Jeez, could we be more overdramatic on a moment? Are you kidding me? The glass is going to slide from one little wine glass?
Well, I've seen that happen. Like, if you're at a restaurant or something and you have a condensation on a wine glass and you put it on a glass table and it slides a little bit. I've seen it happen.
I mean, I guess. But something tells me Ben Simmons has enough money from doing nothing, by the way, that he could have a cleaning service come clean the rug and he's all right.
Also, his his glass there was no condensation. There's no sweating from the glass as well. That was a perfectly dry glass, so he didn't have to really worry about
it. By the way, and not for nothing, have you guys ever been to a house where, like, they're, you know, it's one thing to say, you know, here's a coaster, but, like, every 3 seconds, if you forgot somebody slotting a coaster under your glass, that becomes a little uncomfortable, too. Is that the Moist Pork house?
Well, you know, Moist Pork is a man of great details. He has not liked the height at which I've rolled my elbow sleeves.
For a long time, yeah.
He has not liked the lack of firmness in my collars, even though I ask for starch every time I get my shirts done. He apparently doesn't like when there's not a coaster underneath a glass wine glass on a glass coffee table. So it's possible you go over to the Pork's house, and the Mr. and Mrs. Pork, it's possible when you go over there, they're the ones saying, hey, take a coaster, huh? Take a coaster. You got to have a coaster here.
Which, again, there's nothing wrong with. Like, you know, you want to keep your tables nice, but if it's a constant theme throughout you attending there, you start to get the Pork cold shoulder.
You know, you didn't really have
to. It's not funny.
You didn't have to wedge that joke in. You know, you did not have to. You were on a take. We were on. You know, you didn't have to just parachute in for a one-liner. We were actually having a conversation about the Pork household.
Honestly, it was not one that I thought I was going to set up. We were mid-good conversation. And then, as you said, the Porks, it was you that lined it up. And I realized, a cold shoulder, Pork shoulder.
Embiid? Now you're blaming your teammates? I set you up for the bad joke?
It's like throwing an alley-oop and asking me not to dunk.
You didn't throw an alley-oop.
Yeah, you're hanging on the rim, hoping something ends up near you that you can then dunk in.
You're standing under the rim. Standing right under the rim.
Tim D'Souza was asleep there, too, by the way.
Morty. Respect him.
Yeah, that's why he's asleep, because you don't respect him.
Yeah, because you don't respect him. What do you think, Merez, what do you think the print of the couch is like at the Porks?
Oh, the Pork house. What is the print of the couch like? They're not a leather family.
Okay.
They're not a leather family.
Not a leather family.
Is it in plastic?
Is it in plastic?
Yes. Well, yes.
You know what? If you're using coaster on, maybe not plastic, but like unmatching couch covers where like white, maybe like a white sheet over the whole couch.
Oh, no. That doesn't, no. He's too prim and proper for that. It's either covered in plastic or you can't sit on it.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I was going to say, he might, like, the ones that you sit on are covered, but he might have a show couch when you first walk in.
Oh, show couch.
Yeah. No, I prefer you don't sit there. Don't sit there. It's just for show.
Show couch.
Yes. The Porks might have a show couch.
Definitely has glass doors, too, like for closets. Definitely glass door closets.
Is it possible that the Pork's couch has a dated print from like the late 70s, early 80s?
Mm. Yes.
A Brady Bunch type of print?
A vintage Pork couch? I think that's possible.
I think it's possible. My wife has recently brought in a mustard yellow 70s couch into our house, so I think it's possible that
meant
the porch,
to be retro or vintage.
Meant to be retro. It's put. And it's not in our living room. It's put in a separate room. But I think the idea is like it's supposed to look retro. But
the
I can see the Moise actually having a couch from the 70s.
Right.
Sure.
Yeah. It's not bought vintage. It has become vintage
with the ugliest lamp imaginable on the side table.
I like how we've swapped from them being called the Porks to Mirage just called them the Moists.
The Moists. The Moists.
All right, standing by with headlines. Here's a kind sir, Andrew Bogish.
DA, you and many others think the Sixers need to fire Doc Rivers.
Yeah.
But surprisingly, Doc thinks that Doc and this roster deserve another chance.
Yeah, I believe that wholeheartedly, but that's not up for me. It really is not up to me. That's up to our owners and Daryl. I think they like what they saw overall, but, you know, I don't know.
They certainly
what
didn't.
What did they like that they saw overall?
Well, I guess if you count all 82 games and the postseason, there were some good things, but it wasn't yesterday. A Game 7 stinker in Boston. Joel Embiid and James Harden combined for just 24 points, while Jason Tatum scored 25 before halftime, 51 total. And now Doc has lost 10 Game 7s, 5 more than any other NBA coach. And I believe it's 3 more than any other coach / manager that's ever walked the planet.
Wow. He's lost 10 Game 7s.
Mm-hmm.
10. And he's lost 3-1 series. And this was a 3-2 series lead.
Which might be on 3 of those now, too.
This is incredible. There's just nobody that's as elite as blowing a series lead as Doc. He's the greatest that's ever been.
Right. He's so good at getting ahead in a series, but he can't actually win the series.
He's one of the rare coaches in American sports history that makes us forget they were able to win a championship.
Absolutely right. When you see all these Game 7s that he's blown, yet another blown series lead, another blowout in a Game 7 where you're lifeless, another superstar that's pointing fingers, you forget that Doc won a championship in 2008 with that Celtics team, and it feels so long ago.
You win a championship. You win a championship that lasts forever, you would think. Oh, hey, 2008 champion. When you think Doc Rivers, you think about like 70 games before you think of him winning a championship.
Well, also Doc played, and Doc was a respected player. So it feels like he's always been respected. It's not like a Nick Nurse. It's not like a Frank Vogel, where he's just kind of a nebbish, nerdy coach. And you're like, oh, what does he really do? He's just winning because of the players. You know, Doc has been around for a long time. So I think that helps that we think of him in high regard, a certain regard. But when you think about, he's won a title 15 years ago. This is his third team since that squad, or second team since that squad. And you're like, well, what has he done in 15 years? All he's done is blown leads in the postseason. Plus, when you have Nurse or you have Monty Williams out there, et cetera, you just can't bring Doc back.
So after 67 points over the last 5 quarters to erase that 3-2 hole, Jason Tatum and the Celtics, they prep for another postseason meeting with the Heat.
Looking forward to it, right? It's the best time of the year. And we get to, play them again. So, it's going to be fun. And as a competitor, you just, love the opportunity.
The Celtics won a Game 7 series last spring after being victims of that great Heat run in the bubble. Game 1 this time around is Wednesday night. The Lakers and Nuggets get going tomorrow in Denver after the NBA's draft lottery. And we're waiting on the latest punishment for Ja Morant. He is currently suspended indefinitely by the Grizzlies after another social media video of him and an apparent gun. The Vegas Golden Knights did it again in their 4th Western Conference final in their 6-year existence after last night's 5-2 win in Game 6 in Edmonton. The Oilers led 2-1 after just 2:43, but never scored again. While Vegas got 3 goals in the second from Jonathan Marchessault. Say that 3 times fast. Mm. Game 7 for the Kraken and Stars is tonight with Vegas waiting on the winner.
Every time I hear anybody say Marchessault, I wait for them to say Worcestershire sauce.
And it's funny, D.A., no one ever does.
Yeah, there's only been one man ever that's done it. But Amy was talking about this story before we came on the air. And every time she said Marchessault, I was just waiting for Worcestershire sauce.
Marchessault, Worcestershire sauce.
Canadian bacon sticks.
It makes so much sense. I don't know why John Buccigross doesn't let it out.
Worcestershire sauce?
The St. Louis Cardinals are finally hot.
The 2-2 pitch for Arenado. He swings, and it's a high fly ball. Deep left center field, and it's a goner. Arenado has homered in each game in this series. 9-1 Cardinals at Fenway Park.
John Rooney on Cardinals Radio, 9-1 the final at Fenway for a three-game sweep. St. Louis is 6-1 since an eight-game skid. The Dolphins have reportedly signed former Patriots offensive tackle Isaiah Wynn. And Jason Day won the Byron Nelson for his first PGA Tour victory since 2018, a span of 105 starts. Now, we stun.
Doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
Make your own joke to this one. A man named Joey Santori was recently kayaking on the Chicago River when he and a friend paddled upon a giant snapping turtle sunbathing on the riverbank. And I cannot stress enough how unnaturally giant this turtle is. Its shell is begging for mercy, much like so many of Sean's shirts. The man who found the turtle has called it Chonkosaurus. Not Chunkosaurus, but Chonk, C-H-O. The AP quotes a wildlife biologist who believes the turtle had just come out of hibernation, was out of the water looking to warm up, and he is definitely not supposed to be this big. But snapping turtles eat anything and everything, so I guess it can kind of add up quickly. And of course, stay away from this one or any other snapping turtles you may come across because they are mean and those jaws are nasty.
So I'm not sure where in the Chicago River this was, because the Chicago River goes through downtown Chicago. That's the pretty river that cuts right through the skyline, right through downtown. They dye it green on St. Patty's Day. The picture, the video of this, it's hard to say where this is. So I don't imagine this giant snapping turtle is like downtown Chicago, because also the river runs about 150 miles. So it could be far south of Chicago.
And I believe it splits Chicago River at one point too. Like it leaves, part of it leaves actual like downtown Chicago too. So yeah, but I don't know the exact location of it.
So that's the first part, because this would be hysterical if this was like outside of Harry Carey's restaurant. But no, this is probably a little bit outside of the city. The second part is Chicago's a great eating city. It's one of the great eating cities
ever.
Oh,
yeah.
You know, you get the Italian sausage, you get the Polish sausage, you get the steaks, you get the pork chops, you get the Mexican food, you have, I mean, just everything
deep
all
dish.
Over the place. Deep dish pizza, Lou Malnati's, I mean, go down the list. It's just, it's one of the great eating cities we have. And so I wonder, Merez, do you think Chonkosaurus is chowing down on people food? Or do you think that even in outside Chicago, Illinois, the fish, the frogs, the insects that a Chonkosaurus snapping turtle would eat, that even those are high in cholesterol and high in fat?
Maybe it's the other wildlife that he's eating, but I do wonder, are we getting some illegal dumping from some of these good restaurants and you get some garbage somewhere? That would be really horrible polluting-wise, but that would explain how you get a fat turtle like that. There's got to be a reason for it. This turtle is very unnatural. I would be worried about its 40 time. And by the way, for those that don't know, a chonky is a pudgy or fat animal.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Yes, that's a thing.
Chonky.
Yeah, a chonky. If you see, yeah. The kids would say it these days. You know, that animal's pretty chonky.
So that... Where did you learn this slang?
I will tell you, there is a cookie place, one of these fat cookie places that have opened up everywhere, overstuffed cookies called Chonky's Cookies near me. And when I asked somebody at work there one day, a chonky's like a fat animal, so our cookies are fat cookies.
Really?
Yeah, I bet you if you looked it up.
Yeah, look, a chonky describes animals that are adorably round, plump, pudgy, or otherwise heavier than average.
There you go.
which is amazing because that just means the humans around them are feeding them terrible things.
Yeah. We're making our animals fat and chunky.
Animals are not supposed to be overweight. That's not like part of the animal kingdom.
A turtle is also not supposed to eat an Italian beef with all the whey there.
If you're a Chonkosaurus turtle, Merez, and you're eating wildlife, so insects, bugs, from your natural habitat, frogs, small, you know, fish, what do you think is most delicious for a Chonkosaurus turtle?
It's probably some kind of river trout, wouldn't it be?
Okay.
I mean, it's definitely not going to be a bug. Maybe your taste buds are a little different that you tolerate frog a little.
A grub, like a juicy, wormy grub.
I still have a hard time struggling with that. I'm going to guess fish. You sit there with your, that thing is giant claws. Look at that. You paw a fish out like a bear. And it's like eating sushi fresh out of the river. I mean, that's the way to go.
I think their claws are used primarily for climbing. I think really the snapping factor here is how they catch their prey.
So the snapping meaning with their like neck and mouth?
Yeah, their necks extend and then their jaws snap down on things.
Let's be honest. And you can bring in an eco physicist in here anytime you want. That claw, that animal didn't get that fat not using its claw to get any food. You just eats with its mouth? Come on. It looks like you could hold a fork and knife in those things.
Eco-physicist. Can we book one of those guys?
Whatever. The ones that study the animals. Those people. Those people.
Biologist?
Or what's an ecologist?
Ecologist studies the ecosystem ecology, where a biologist studies, I think, animals and wildlife.
All right. Or the biosphere. Right. Well, I mean, one of them is studying these turtles and what's going on in the environment around them. Bring them in.
Okay.
All right. Or the biosphere, as I call it. Yeah.
The sizzle of the best goals.
Sing us a song. You're the overtime ending man.
The saltiness of the best games.
Guys, we're having a good time. Having a good time.
We crave the nightly action of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
That's a hockey, you know. It's only a game. Why do you have to be mad? He's a good guy.
It's your morning serving of Canadian bacon. Only on the DA Show.
All right. Merez is up at the plate. Canadian bacon time. Take it away.
All right, Damon. The NHL had a standalone elimination game for the sport's biggest star. A beautiful Sunday in North America. So why not drop the puck after 10 p.m. Eastern?
Right.
You rule, Gary Bettman. You rule. If you spent time in the bathroom as the game began, we hope you washed your hands before running out to the TV with your pants around your ankles to see what all the commotion was about. Because each team scored a goal in the first minute of action. And 2:43 into the first period, goaltending remained super bad as Warren Fogel McLovin won into the net.
But again, that was a bit of a freakish bounce. Here's Ryan in front, one-timer score. There's your response. Warren Fogel gives Edmonton the lead. 2-1.
That goal had a little more hops in it. Would, however, be the final Oilers goal of the year. Edmonton fans were electric in the second period. But then we had a marsh of the wooden shoulders. Jonathan tied the game at 2 and then gave the Knights a golden lead.
Across to the left, Martinez. Slap shot save. Up into the air. Off the post. They score. Marchessault again. And the Knights take a 3-2 lead.
How many goals would Jonathan net? Well, come on, knock on our door. Come on, knock on our door. We've been waiting for you. We've been waiting for you. Where the kisses are hers and hers and his. Three's company too. Yes, 3 straight second period goals. A natural hat trick for the Night Star, making things as spicy as Worcestershire sauce. On Mother's Day, family matters, and William Carl Winslowson scored the empty netter to eliminate the Oilers once and for all. As Bogus mentioned earlier, this was the 4th trip to the Western Conference Final in 6 years of existence for the Knights.
It is now, though, 8 years into the career of Connor McDavid, and it has resulted in zero Stanley Cup appearances. The team could not take the next step after finally making a conference final last year. After the game, old McDavid had a mic. E-I-E-I, no!
I really feel that you got to go through some of this to win. I think we've seen that all the way through. Let's hope it's the last time.
Whoa, it should be an interesting offseason for the Oilers, and that is your Canadian bacon.
Okay, PDB, give us the oinks. Three and a half.
Oh.
Wow, low score.
Whoa.
Wow, I thought it was better than three and a half. Wow.
Hey, wow.
Whew, tough grader today. Okay, that's Canadian bacon. Number one. I don't know if I can get on board with E-I-E-I, no. I'm not sure. As much as I like bad puns, bad songs, bad jokes around here, E-I-E-I, no.
I wrote it. I liked it.
Are you both going to make me defend my mortal enemy? You and PTA?
Well, hang on. That's only the first thing that
I'm going to. But that was a good one. I mean, maybe E-I-E-I, like, dough would have been a little better, but...
Oh, really?
But I like the joke. Oh, McDavid had a mic. I'm in.
How about that? I thought the exact opposite. I thought you would bury Mraz for E-I-E-I.
E-I-E-I, yes, for me.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. Wow, you never know. You know, you just never know. I really like the super bad off the top. I like the hops. Nice job. Good McLovin reference there. And I see what you were doing. You were trying to warm up the old TV codgers by bringing in a Three's Company theme song and a Family Matters joke in there. You were definitely cozying up to Pete the Body, knowing how much he loves old reruns on television.
Look, it just fit. The script fit. You know, you wanted to be creative. It wasn't 420. It was Mother's Day, so Family Matters.
Yeah, and Three's Company was mentioned at the end of last week at one point.
Exactly, and it was three straight goals for obviously, Marcia So there. You wanted me to do a different Marcia So Worcester sauce. I did the Marsh of the shoulders, which was not easy to say.
It was not.
You also butchered that one because you're trying to say March of the Wooden Soldiers, right?
Yes.
And you got to Marsh of the Wooden shoulders as though it was like shake your shoulders. And it's sh-soldiers.
Well, no, because it's Marsha-soldiers.
Marsha-soldiers.
Marsha Sigourney Weavers.
Not an easy name to work with when he's got a hat trick.
I really liked Family Matters on Mother's Day. That was a really good one to get into a Carl Winslow joke. And then spicy as Worcestershire sauce, so you didn't actually go back to the same joke. Yeah, I thought overall that was a very, very solid effort. You were also working with only one game. I didn't love E-I-E-I, no, but sounds like one of the judges did love it. So I thought it was at least a four. I thought that was a four effort, Bogues.
I might have gone as far as four and a half. I thought that was maybe Sean's best effort, even... Marsh-shoulders made me laugh, even though it wasn't delivered perfectly.
Marsh of the Wooden shoulders.
I don't know if I'm just had a great weekend. Maybe I had too many mimosas at Mother's Day brunch yesterday, and they're still lingering.
So.
Maybe Pete's too angry this morning. Your line's not strong enough. I don't know what's going on, but I like that. That might have been my favorite one you've done this entire season. I should probably listening to more of them now.
Well, you know, now you're playing Joel Embiid and pointing the finger at somebody else. My line has been stable since 6:30 a.m. Eastern. We've had two strong hours of the audio here, so I don't know why Pete would still be mad at me. I mean, okay, I had a clunker in game one. I put up 51 and then 48 in the next two games.
Exactly. You're on a Tatum rebound now, finishing strong.
Always that first hour.
Okay, so Pete, why only a 3.5?
It was all right to me. I like the Family Matters and the Three's Company stuff, but everything else, I truly hate the Connor McDavid line. I think it's
I hate it.
Old McDavid had a stick, all that stuff. I think it's so forced. I don't like it. So.
Well, yeah. Hold on.
Well, it's not like you're going to change my mind.
I'm not going to change your mind, but I'm going to defend the old McDavid here.
Guys, it is the Oilers elimination. I stayed away from you reusing that joke the entire first two rounds of the postseason. Not once did you get an E-I-E-I-O.
Mm-hmm. How about you get this some new material?
He was eliminated, and it was a good way to tell you guys we're not going to let a Canadian bacon go without using old McDavid.
Oh, you can let
and
it go.
And this time he had a mic.
You can let it go. You can get some new material on it. That's not hard.
No, but callbacks are fine, and this one was okay. This one wasn't forced. As he said, it's clearly had some space between the last one. I don't like being this strongly in Sean's defense here, but I guess I'm going to have to do this.
This is why I tell you I don't care about the oinks. It's always about that kid listening for the first time, and they're going to be singing E-I-E-I No all day long.
Well, today I care about the oinks, and you deserved at least four of them.
Thank you.
Where is today's kid watching from? We had Tuscaloosa, Tulsa, and Reno recently.
Portland, Maine. Portland, Maine.
Yeah. Portland, Maine. Not the big Portland,
no,
the small Portland.
Buzzing around. Weather's getting good in Maine. They're counting down to the end of school, getting ready in the car right now.
We had a Portland, Maine lesson from Jacob Wilkins, actually.
Yes.
Oh, is that right?
His favorite road city.
Oh, yeah. Great city. Yeah, great city. Speaking of Canadian bacon, did you guys see Pat Boyle's gambling hit in Game 7, Celtics Sixers? Now, he posted it all over social media, so it was hard to miss here.
Yeah.
But
I missed it. And I missed Cap taking shots at Moise Porter. You guys are on your phone all weekends? Like, take a break, guys. It was Mother's Day.
Well, yesterday I was getting ready for the show, and so I'm scrolling through, you know, the stories and then Twitter and Instagram, et cetera, to see the reaction from Game 7. And here is what Boyle tweeted. He tweeted a picture of his let's say like 8-leg parlay or something. Okay. Right. So Sixers Celtics. He went under on the Sixers total points, 92.5. Went over on the Celtics total points, 99.5. Went under on James Harden points, 22.5. Under on Jaylen Brown points, 25.5. Under on Embiid's points, 31.5. Under on Maxey's points, 21.5. Over on Brogdon, 11.5. Under on Harden assists. He hit all of those in one bet. He laid $100. He hit for a $4,100 score on Game 7 yesterday.
Tell me you have you don't have a mortgage without telling me. My goodness. $100 on that many legs? My God.
Right? I mean, it feels like a total Hail Mary that you never hit an 8-leg parlay.
And it was another under 8.5 something we can't see. But that is some hit for the Boylster.
Right? I mean, he won $4,000 on one bet yesterday in Game 7. It's,
bless his heart. He could do my BetQL shift this Sunday. Then how about that? Come up with some winners.
Maybe he
like
should.
This. It's the luck of the Irish for Pat.
My question is, does he have Canadian bacon confidence? It's kind of like...
like BD energy?
It's a little bit like that, or they say when you're drunk, when you have beer muscles. Does he have bacon muscles right now? Or he's just going all out in everything. He's just walking up to supermodels and spitting game. He's throwing $100 on 9-leg parlays. Does he have bacon muscles?
Bacon muscles? He's greased them up. He's got bacon muscles? CB muscles? I guess perhaps. So maybe, Pete, if you could start giving me 5 oinkers, that'd be great. And then I'll just start gambling behind it.
Are we going to oil boil at this thing?
I mean, we have to. Well, we're not traveling from far. Somebody else going to oil him. I don't want to touch his nude body.
I don't think you would mind.
I like people rubbing me. I don't like rubbing other people.
It's a one-way street with Sean.
Exactly. That's where you draw the line. You're having some guy burp in your face.
Yeah, I'm a taker. I'm not a giver.
Oh. All right. Fair enough.
It fits. It tracks.
I don't believe that, though, at all, because if I wanted you to burp in my face or Badlands Booker said, give me the biggest belt you got, you would be a giver.
No, I wouldn't. So one of the odd commodities with me being a fat slob is that I can't burp on demand. I don't burp a lot. Now, listen.
But you could fart on demand.
Yes.
Probably.
You're more of a basement guy than an attic.
I agree. I agree. We've vented
more
the back half.
More basement than attic.
He's right. We vented the back half of my body, not the top half.
And the trash is usually lower than higher.
I can't do a lot in my mouth. I can't whistle. I can't burp. Okay.
But if Badland shows up to Bob's bar and says, Mraz, you know, you're one of my biggest heroes ever. I always love coming on the show. Would you?
What?
Sound like chef? Yeah.
What?
Again, primary colors. He's got 4 impersonations. He just doesn't know what to put on top of Shep. to get to Badlands yet. We're working on it.
Look, Badlands, believe me, is not terribly off of Shep. It's the first time you're hearing it. It's the first time, but he's got a little bit like a softer voice, right? He's okay. Anyway,
I mean, we certainly have both of their voices in the system. Can't you play them side by side here?
Badlands says, "I'm gonna put my hand on the couch. Sean, would you please sit on it and fart? You definitely would do that.
Come on."
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more. With a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360, you can potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free and give now or over time by donating cash, publicly traded securities, or non-cash assets like real estate and crypto. With over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together, DAF Giving 360 can help you make a greater impact. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
The sizzle of the best goals.
Sing us a song. You're the overtime ending man.
The saltiness of the best games.
God, we're having a good time. Having a good time.
We crave the nightly action of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
That's a hockey. You know, it's only a game. Why do you have to be mad? He's a good guy.
It's your morning serving of Canadian bacon. Only on the DA show.
All right. Mraz is up at the plate. Canadian bacon time. Take it away.
All right, Damon. The NHL had a standalone elimination game for the sport's biggest star. A beautiful Sunday in North America. So why not drop the puck after 10 p.m. Eastern?
Right.
You rule, Gary Bettman. You rule. If you spent time in the bathroom as the game began, we hope you washed your hands before running out to the TV with your pants around your ankles to see what all the commotion was about.
because each team scored a goal in the first minute of action. And 2:43 into the first period, goaltending remained super bad as Warren Fogle McLovin went into the net.
But in. But again, that was a bit of a freakish bounce. Here's Ryan in front. One-timer score. There's your response. Warren Fogle gives Edmonton the lead. 2-1.
That goal had a little more hops in it. It would, however, be the final Oilers goal of the year. Edmonton fans were electric in the second period. But then we had a march of the wooden shoulders. Jonathan tied the game at 2 and then gave the Knights a golden lead.
Across to the left, Martinez. Slap shot save. Up into the air. Off the post. They score. Marchessault again. And the Knights take a 3-2 lead.
How many goals would Jonathan net? Well, come on, knock on our door. Come on, knock on our door. We've been waiting for you. We've been waiting for you. Where the kisses are hers and hers and his. Three's company too. Yes, 3 straight second period goals. A natural hat trick for the Night Star, making things as spicy as Worcestershire sauce. On Mother's Day, family matters, and William Carl Winslowson scored the empty netter to eliminate the Oilers once and for all. As Bogus mentioned earlier, this was the 4th trip to the Western Conference Final in 6 years of existence for the Knights. It is now, though, 8 years into the career of Connor McDavid, and it has resulted in 0 Stanley Cup appearances. The team could not take the next step after finally making a conference final last year. After the game, old McDavid had a mic. I know.
I really feel that you got to go through some of this to win. I think we've seen that all the way through. Let's hope it's the last time.
Whoa, it should be an interesting offseason for the Oilers, and that is your Canadian bacon.
Okay, PDB, give us the oinks. Three and a half.
Oh.
Wow, low score.
Whoa.
Wow, I thought it was better than 3.5. Wow.
Hey, wow.
Oof, tough grader today. Okay, that's Canadian bacon. Number one. I don't know if I can get on board with EI, no. I'm not sure. As bad, as much as I like bad puns, bad songs, bad jokes around here, EI, no.
I wrote it. I liked it.
Are you both going to make me defend my mortal enemy? You and PTA?
Well, hang on. That's only the first thing that
I'm going to. But that was a good one. I mean, maybe EI, like, dough would have been a little better, but...
Oh, really?
But,
wow.
But I like the joke. Like, oh, McDavid had a mic. I'm in.
How about that? I thought the exact opposite. I thought you would bury Mraz
EIEI, yes, for me.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. Wow, you never know. You know, you just never know. I really like the super bad off the top. I like the hops. Nice job. Good McLovin reference there. And I see what you were doing. You were trying to warm up the old TV codgers by bringing in a Three's Company theme song and a Family Matters joke in there. You were definitely cozying up to Pete the Body, knowing how much he loves old reruns on television.
Look, it just fit. The script fit. You know, you wanted to be creative. It wasn't 4:20. It was Mother's Day, so Family Matters.
Yeah, and Three's Company was mentioned at the end of last week at one point.
Exactly, and it was 3 straight goals for obviously, Marchessault there. You wanted me to do a different Marchessault Worcestershire sauce. I did the Marsh of the shoulders, which was not easy to say.
It was not.
You also butchered that one because you're trying to say March of the Wooden Soldiers, right?
Yes.
And you got to Marsh of the Wooden shoulders as though it was like shake your shoulders. And it's sh-soldiers.
Well, no, because it's Marsh-soldiers.
Marsh-soldiers.
Sigourney Weavers.
Not an easy name to work with when he's got a hat trick.
I really liked Family Matters on Mother's Day. That was a really good one to get into a Carl Winslow joke. And then spicy as Worcestershire sauce, so you didn't actually go back to the same joke. Yeah, I thought overall that was a very, very solid effort. You were also working with only one game. I didn't love EIEI, no, but sounds like one of the judges did love it. So I thought it was at least a 4. I thought that was a 4 effort, Bogues.
I might have gone as far as 4.5. I thought that was maybe Sean's best effort. Even Marsh's shoulders made me laugh, even though it wasn't delivered perfectly.
Marsh of the wooden shoulders.
I don't know if I'm just had a great weekend. Maybe I had too many mimosas at Mother's Day brunch yesterday, and they're still lingering. Maybe Pete's too angry this morning. Your line's not strong enough. I don't know what's going on, but I like that. That might have been my favorite one you've done this entire season. I should probably listening to more of them now.
Well, you know, now you're playing Joel Embiid and pointing the finger at somebody else. My line has been stable since 6:30 a.m. Eastern. We've had two strong hours of the audio here, so I don't know why Pete would still be mad at me. I mean, okay, I had a clunker in game one. I put up 51 and then 48 in the next two games.
Exactly. You're on a Tatum rebound now, finishing strong.
Always that first hour.
Okay, so Pete, why only a 3.5?
It was all right to me. I like the Family Matters and the Three's Company stuff, but everything else, I truly hate the Connor McDavid line. I think it's
I hate it.
Old McDavid had a stick, all that stuff. I think it's so forced. I don't like it. So.
Well, yeah. Hold on.
Oh, it's not like you're going to change my mind.
I'm not going to change your mind, but I'm going to defend the old McDavid here. Guys, it is the Oilers elimination. I stayed away from you reusing that joke the entire first two rounds of the postseason. Not once did you get an EIEIO.
Mm-hmm. How about you get this some new material?
He was eliminated, and it was a good way to tell you guys we're not going to let a Canadian bacon go without using old McDavid.
Oh, you can let
and
it go.
And this time he had a mic.
You can let it go. You can get some new material on it. That's not hard.
No, but callbacks are fine, and this one was okay. This one wasn't forced. As he said, it's clearly had some space between the last one. I don't like being this strongly in Sean's defense here, but I guess I'm going to have to do this.
This is why I tell you I don't care about the oinks. It's always about that kid listening for the first time, and they're going to be singing EIEIO all day long.
Well, today I care about the oinks, and you deserved at least four of them.
Thank you.
Where is today's kid watching from? We had Tuscaloosa, Tulsa, and Reno recently.
Portland, Maine.
Yeah. Portland, Maine. Not the big Portland,
no,
the small Portland.
Buzzing around. Weather's getting good in Maine. They're counting down to the end of school, getting ready in the car right now.
We had a Portland, Maine lesson from Jacob Wilkins, actually.
Yes.
Oh, is that right?
His favorite road city.
Oh, yeah. Great city. Yeah, great city. Speaking of Canadian bacon, did you guys see Pat Boyle's gambling hit in Game 7, Celtics Sixers? Now, he posted it all over social media, so it was hard to miss here.
Yeah.
But
I missed it. And I missed Cap taking shots at Moise Porter. You guys are on your phone all weekends? Like, take a break, guys. It was Mother's Day.
Well, yesterday I was getting ready for the show, and so I'm scrolling through, you know, the stories, and then Twitter and Instagram, et cetera, to see the reaction from Game 7. And here is what Boyle tweeted. He tweeted a picture of his let's say like 8-leg parlay or something. Okay, right. So Sixers Celtics. He went under on the Sixers total points, 92.5. Went over on the Celtics total points, 99.5. Went under on James Harden points, 22.5. Under on Jaylen Brown points, 25.5. Under on Embiid's points, 31.5. Under on Maxey's points, 21.5. Over on Brogdon, 11.5. Under on Harden assists. He hit all of those. In one bet, he laid $100. He hit for a $4,100 score on Game 7 yesterday.
Tell me you don't have a mortgage without telling me. My goodness. $100 on that many legs? My God.
Right? I mean, it feels like a total Hail Mary that you never hit an 8-leg parlay.
And it was another under 8.5 something we can't see. But that is some hit for the Boylster.
Right? I mean, he won $4,000 on one bet yesterday in Game 7. It's,
bless his heart. He could do my BetQL shift this Sunday. Then how about that? Come up with some winners.
Maybe he
like
should.
This. It's the luck of the Irish for Pat.
My question is, does he have Canadian bacon confidence? It's kind of like
Like BD energy.
It's a little bit like that, or they say when you're drunk, what do you have beer muscles? Does he have bacon muscles right now? Or he's just going all out at everything. He's just walking up to supermodels and spitting game. He's throwing $100 on 9-leg parlays. Does he have bacon muscles?
Bacon muscles. He's greased them up. He's got bacon muscles, CB muscles. I guess perhaps. So maybe, Pete, if you could start giving me 5 winkers, that'd be great. And then I'll just start gambling behind it.
Are we going to oil boil at this thing?
I mean, we have to. Well, we're not traveling from far. Somebody else going to oil him. I don't want to touch his nude body.
I don't think you would mind.
Ah, I like people rubbing me. I don't like rubbing other people.
It's a one-way street with Sean.
Exactly.
That's where you draw the line. You're having some guy burp in your face.
I'm a taker. I'm not a giver.
Oh.
All right. Fair enough.
It fits. It tracks.
I don't believe that, though, at all, because if I wanted you to burp in my face or Badlands Booker said, give me the biggest belt you got, you would be a giver.
No, I wouldn't. So one of the odd commodities with me being a fat slob
commodity
is that I can't burp on demand. I don't burp a lot. Now, listen.
But you could fart on demand.
Yes.
Probably.
You're more of a basement guy than an attic.
I agree. I agree. We've vented
more
the
basement
back half.
Than attic.
He's right. We vented the back half of my body, not the top half.
And the trash is usually lower than higher.
I can't do a lot in my mouth. I can't whistle. I can't burp. It's.
Oh, okay. But if Badland shows up to Bob's bar and says, Mraz, you know, you're one of my biggest heroes ever. I always love coming on the show. Would you?
What?
Sound like chef? Yeah.
What?
Again, primary colors. He's got 4 impersonations. He just doesn't know what to put on top of Shep to get to Badlands yet. We're working on it.
Look, Badlands, believe me, is not terribly off of Shep. It's the first time you're hearing it. It's the first time. But he's got a little bit like a softer voice, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Anyway,
I mean, we certainly have both of their voices in the system. Can't you play them side by side here?
Badlands says, I'm going to put my hand on the couch. Sean, would you please sit on it and fart? You definitely would do that.
Come on.
If Badlands asked me to pass gas on his hand, it would be one of the great honors that's ever been bestowed upon me in my life. For sure.
And you would do it, so you would be a giver.
I, though, would worry I'd choke in that spot. Just
you would choke?
A lot of pushing. Nothing's coming, Badlands. Hang on.
Really get all the juices in.
No, I eat tofu a lot.
Did not close.
Don't sound close. Like no.
But did one's on close. The phone there. One's on the phone.
Oh,
that's not
come
a fair
on.
Con. That's not a fair. That's not apples to apples. There.
Don't try to protect your impersonation. It sucked.
It's not apples to apples.
Mostly it's just experience, you know what I'm saying?
No, I eat tofu a lot.
No. Pete's doing this to me because my line broke.
No, I'm doing it because you're wrong.
You got to give me Badlands, not on the phone.
Let me find it. Anything else you want?
No, nothing at all. No, absolutely nothing at all.
Analytics is just a term that's kind of thrown around a lot.
It's time now for the mothership's advanced analytics.
Ben Simmons sent out or posted the picture of him watching Game 7 yesterday, seemingly making fun, mocking his former teammates, the Sixers, for getting blown out. Moist Pork noted that he should have a coaster underneath his wine glass, even though it was on a glass coffee table. Should Ben Simmons have used a coaster there? 72% of you say yes. Only 28% disagreed with Moist Pork. So Pork has the voice of the masses here. Now, data tells us that the formation of the first set of drink coasters came in the 1880s. It was a German printing company credited with disposable drink coasters. While Robert Spoothe credited with creating one of the first drink coasters as well. Leo Pisker of Austria has the world record for collecting the most coasters. He had 150,000 of them. Mraz has 4 drink coasters for 10 stools. And Bob's, by the way, that's not good analytics for you guys. Does Bob Does Bob like coasters? Does he mandate coasters at Bob's Bar?
Doesn't. He doesn't. He likes them. He has a bunch of collected ones, but inevitably he doesn't have any of the stone ones, and then the good wind gust blows them all away, the light ones. So, no. It's a free-for-all.
I hear you. All right, well, what did we decide on the epic fail this morning?
Oh, a combination of you thinking that Shep and Badlands sound alike, plus me begging to pass gas on Badlands' hand.
Okay, that sounds like the perfect epic fail. Here it is.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Badlands shows up to Bob's Bar and says, Mraz, you know, you're one of my biggest heroes ever. I always love coming on the show. Would you?
Why? Sound like Shep?
I did have my admiral's feet.
Why doesn't this man have a girlfriend?
What?
Again, primary colors. He's got four impersonations. He just doesn't know what to put on top of Shep to get to Badlands yet. We're working on it.
Look, Badlands, believe me, is not terribly off of Shep. It's the first time you're hearing it.
I'm going to say something really, maybe potentially weird here.
It's the first, but he's got a little bit like a softer voice, right?
Oh, no.
I just hope I use my super burp powers.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Anyway.
I mean, we certainly have both of their voices in the system. Can't you play them side by side here?
Badlands says, I'm going to put my hand on the couch. Sean, would you please sit on it and fart? You definitely would do that.
Come on.
Gosh, I can't decide.
If Badlands asked me to pass gas on his hand, it would be one of the great honors that's ever been bestowed upon me in my life. For sure.
And you would do it, so you would be a giver.
I though would worry I'd choke in that spot.
Just you would choke?
A lot of pushing. Nothing's coming, Badlands. Hang on.
I like bologna. Everybody likes bologna. Really get all the juices in it.
No, I eat tofu a lot.
But one's on the phone there. One's on the phone. That's not a fair con. That's not apples to apples.
Don't try to protect your impersonation. It sucked.
It's not apples to apples.
Mostly it's just experience, you know what I'm saying?
No, I eat tofu a lot.
No. Pete's doing this to me because my line broke.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
To be fair, hearing that back, it did not sound like. Senor Pantleg tweets, now wait a minute. Mraz is supposed to know Schoolhouse Rock, but it's okay for DA not to know what Moana is?
Thank you.
I think so, because Schoolhouse Rock was a kid's cultural phenomenon from the 70s through the 80s into the 90s. When Mraz was a kid, this is why Pete the Body, who's almost the same age as Mraz, knows what Schoolhouse Rock is. Moana was a big thing well after I was a kid. I'm not shopping for Moana 90s for my kids. I'm not going to the movies to see kids' movies. That's just, look, you live in a different realm when you got kids. Adults don't live in Disney movie realm. I just got to break news to you, everybody. Just the bit. Kids living kids realm. Mraz should know Schoolhouse Rock. I'm get a jail free card for me on the line. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Pete the Body Bellotti on the Wheels of Steel. Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA. Andrew Bogish on your headlines. Be good and be good to one another. See you tomorrow.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
No matter why your clients give, a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360 makes charitable giving simple and efficient. They can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and their assets can potentially grow tax-free as they recommend when and where to give. DAF Giving 360 has over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.